It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Good show lined up for you today. We've got Wyatt Burke. He's going to join us today. We're going to talk about his championship season that he had with the Midwest Racing Association non-wing sprint cars. We're going to have him on today. Picked up a couple wins this year. Finished second last weekend at Valley Speedway, fifth at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. So we'll talk to Wyatt Burke here in just a little bit. Good driver. Looking forward to talking to him a little bit today. Austin, how you doing today? You doing all right, bud? Everything all right?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Doing great.
Doing great. You sound so bubbly.
I am.
You are bubbly. Hey, listen.
Very energetic.
Very energetic today. Let's start off the show by talking about this weekend at the Short Track Nationals. It's going to be taking place down at Little Rock, Arkansas at I-30 Speedway. It's going to pay $15,041 to win on Saturday night. Austin, what do you think are the odds on who's the odds on favorite to win this weekend, do you think? Who would be your number one choice to win the Short Track Nationals this weekend? You think about it, Blake Kahn won it last year. Sam Haferteep won it the year before that. Then Blake Kahn won it 2 years in a row in 18 and 19. Sammy Swindell won it in 16 and 17. I'm not sure Sammy's going to be in contention to win this year. But
even if he's there.
Even if he's there, right? Gosh darn it. I hate to say that about him because I just love watching Sammy Swindell race. But I just got a feeling that he's not going to be in the hunt this time around. So, and then Christopher Bell won it in 2014. Sammy won it again in 2013. So let's just kind of go over the list of drivers that you think might be potential winners of the Short Track Nationals. Who would you start with? Would it be Sam or would it be Blake? Is that who you would start with, one of those two drivers?
Well, of course, when you're looking at who you think can possibly win, you gotta start look at the past champions of this race, and like you said, Blake and Sam have to be right up there on top of this list. Blake's won it three times. Sam's won it, how many times you say it was, two, three times now for Sam?
Sam has won it, I only see one time.
Just
that
once,
won
okay.
Won it.
I figured Sam, would have had more, but, Sam was pretty good at Lucas this weekend, this past couple weekends ago. You got to look at Blake at being good, too.
He was pretty good at Eldora last weekend, too, Sam was, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
Which was, he usually, how do I want to say this? Sam's kind of struggled with his 410 stuff, maybe a little more last year than this year. He's shown a lot of good improvement this year, and to kind of go out there against that stage, which, I mean, you had the best with the Outlaws
best.
There, and you
yeah.
had the best with the All-Stars there. And then your kind of Ohio local cars there. So, I mean, he had a tough field to run against, and he ran all right. So, nothing to kind of hang your head on there. And, I think you got to look at who was fast last weekend, or 2 weekends ago at Lucas Oil, and, Wayne Johnson, Tim Crawley. If Roger Crockett goes, Roger's going to be good. Boguski's going to be good if he goes. And then, Little Rock the past maybe year and a half, normally I always think of Little Rock being kind of heavy and choppy, and
right.
maybe the past year, like I said, maybe a year and a half, it's been really slick, smooth, and kind of racy. So I think it's going to be kind of a track we might have seen, at Lucas Oil. So, if, think of the guys that were fast at Lucas on that track, might be faster at Little Rock too.
Right. I'm trying to look up here real quick to see where Sam finished in the A main. Sam, not so bad. He started eighth. He ran seventh in the A main on Saturday night. That's not too bad.
No, not at all. And they don't. He doesn't. I mean, he's ran Eldora, plenty of times to know how to get around that place. But I mean, that was a tough crowd to race against Saturday night, and to have that finish, I mean, that's has to be a confidence booster after kind of maybe coming off a, you know, a weekend maybe that wasn't what you really hoped for at Lucas Oil the week prior.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Those got to be my two choices right now. I've got to think about. Listen, are we underestimating Tim Crawley? Tim Crawley's got about as many laps around that racetrack as anybody down there. You know, Mike Ward.
Derek Hagar, too.
Derek Hagar's another guy. You got to. What about those two guys? They've got.
Those are going to be really tough ones. You know, along with the guys that have won this race before, I think those two are maybe your toughest. I don't know if you could call Crawley your local car. I mean, you know, he's been kind of local down there before he joined the tour this year. But, you know, I definitely think, you know, if you had to pick maybe two local cars, I think those would probably be your two to pick.
Well, I don't know. I got a feeling, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, but don't you feel like there's going to be a record amount of cars down there this weekend? How many are pre-entered? Have you seen?
They haven't released any numbers yet, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah. In 2017, they had 73 cars, you told me, right?
Yeah, so I was kind of browsing through My Race Pass here just a little bit ago, and some years were entered into the My Race Pass app on results for, you know, the Short Track Nationals, and some years were you know, missing. But it was the average, I would say, maybe out of the last 8 years would be about 65 to 75 cars, somewhere in that range. And I bet you you're going to have about 100 cars this year. You know, I, you know, throughout the past couple of weeks, I've seen, you know, stuff on social media from cars that, you know, maybe are kind of in the, you know, Missouri area that you normally wouldn't expect to see to go down there, you know, say they're going to go just because it's the last one, and one it's paying really good. It's hard to beat. I believe it's maybe two prelim races, Thursday and Friday, or we're going to pay $5,000 to win, and you have $15,000 to win on Saturday. So that's going to attract a ton of cars from the South, a good chunk of cars from the Midwest, like, you know, Kansas, Missouri, right, Illinois area. You might get a couple cars from Iowa and Nebraska, maybe South Dakota. I mean, that's kind of a long pull. It maybe wouldn't really make sense for them to pull past I-80 for 4,000 to win, but, I mean, it's hard to pass up, you know, two 5,000 to win shows and a 15,000 to win show. Yeah, for three nights of racing instead of one.
Yeah, I'm afraid it might hurt the car count up there at I-80 a little bit this weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough weekend to have this race.
The Nebraska 360 guys are going to be up there, though. The guys that, they don't even have that series anymore, do they?
It's the Malvern Bank 360s. It's what it's called now, and it just races I-80 only. And I mean, you're gonna have your, I think, about 15 guys or the, you know, the weekly guys that race up there, or the guys that have made almost every event. You know, they'll be there, and some guys maybe around that area, knowing that it's possibly the last 360 race that might ever take place at I-80. You know, might go and just, you know, get to say they race there one last time before maybe the doors closes for the final time.
That'd be a tough decision if you're a 360 racer. Where do you go?
Yeah.
You got two racetracks that are going to close down at the end of the year, I-30, I-80. That'd be a difficult decision. But if you're really kind of loyal to that area up there around Omaha, Lincoln, I think you'll probably end up running up there at I-80, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what you like to go race. Are you a short track guy or are you a half mile guy? You know, if you want to go down and you like short tracks and you're not really fond of the half miles, then it's all right, go down and drive to Little Rock and race for some really good money. But if you like half miles and, you know, there's going to be a ton of cars at Little Rock and, you know, there might not be, you're going to have a good number of cars, you know, I-80, but, you know, go to I-80 and run on a track that, you know, maybe you prefer and have a good finish and make, you know, some decent money. I believe it pays $4,000 to win, $500 to start. So that's not too bad for 360s around this area. So
yeah,
hopefully they get some cars, maybe come, you know, maybe from the north down a little bit to race and maybe kind of fill the void of the cars that, you know, maybe left to go run Little Rock. But I think you're going to have two big 360 events within probably 10 hours of each other.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be a tough decision for some people to make. I'm going to be going to the Short Track Nationals. Maybe we'll get Kirk Elliott to get up there to I-80. I know he's wanting to go to that football game on Saturday in Manhattan, I think it is. So we'll just have to see if we can talk him into going up there and getting a little sound for that race, the final race of the year. Is this the final race of the year?
No. They have this weekend. Let me pull up their schedule. I believe they have maybe a race next weekend. And then the thing is the 15th is a World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. And then the 16th should be a Saturday, and that will be their final race. And it'll have, like, the Malvern Bank late models and a couple of their support classes.
I think I'll go up for the World of Outlaws. When is that?
So I believe it's the 15th to Friday night, and then Saturday night the World of Outlaws will be at Lakeside.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that ought to be pretty good. I don't know. Who do you think is one of the better drivers up there at I-80? Who would be your pick up there to win up there?
Jack Dover or Don Drowd?
Don Drowd or Jack Dover?
Jack's always really fast.
You would
up
be
there.
A candidate if you were up there.
We would be.
Yeah.
We've had really good runs up there. Go up there twice and finished fourth the first time in the rubber. Really didn't. Was just kind of maybe was I don't want to say surprised with that finish, but it was a good achieving moment, I guess you could say. We really didn't expect how we would fare out on a half mile first time in like 2 years, I think it was, but to come back the second time and go from 14th to 4th on a really narrow and heavy track was really cool, and it kind of had our hopes up for some of the races later in the year. Kurt grabbed that, but
yep.
Yeah, I think Jack Dover's always really fast up there. He's ran up there weekly for so many years and has a ton of laps, and his half-mile package is really good, but you know, Don Drowd came over and ran up there twice this year and was a contender both nights, just you know, parts failures. You know, sidelined them both races. I think the fuel pump broke the first time, and then he broke a motor the second time. So, if Don can keep his stuff together, I think those two are your the cars to beat.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I think that Don Drowd jacked over. Listen, those guys have a ton of laps around that racetrack, right?
Yeah, I mean they've.
Mark Birch is he's owned cars up there in that area forever.
Yeah, and Don's been around forever too. So.
Right.
I mean,
does he still drive for Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Still in the 1M.
Why did they get out of the non-wing racing and go back to wing racing? Do you know? Have you ever heard the reason why?
No, they ran a couple non-wing races this year, but it's just if I could maybe
but
make.
They ran full time with NWRA, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. It's just that no dish on NWRA, but it only pays $1,000 to win.
That's
for them
true.
To pull from Lincoln down to Kansas City almost every week is just not the
That's
best.
Getting in your pocket a little bit too much.
It's definitely in your pocket, and it's forcing you know Don to win every night. And Don won some races, but, man, the pay just $200 to start. And I mean, if he had a bad night, it just did not make sense to maybe you know pull from Lincoln to Kansas City almost every weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Doesn't matter how much money you make. If you're taking money out of your pocket and spending on it to go racing, it doesn't always add up. And I've been there. I've done that. You've done that as well. Sometimes it's hard to reach in the pocket and pull out the cash, isn't it?
And especially right now. It's you know, tougher than it's maybe, I don't say ever been, but, you know, in my years of racing, it is the toughest I've experienced. But you know, I just... All I can do is hope it changes, and hopefully we get some new you know leadership and some guidance to get this you know kind of back in the direction it needs to be.
Yeah. So, who's your number one favorite to win the Short Track Nationals? Let's get back to that real quickly, and let me ask you this. We look at let's just take a look at the top four or five in points right now with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. I'm sorry, folks. I'm still a little bit sick. I haven't got over my cold yet. Blake Hahn, Wayne Johnson, Matt Covington, Tim Crawley, Jason Martin, Brandon Anderson, Landon Crawley, Landon Britt, Kyler Johnson, Ryan Bickett. Those are your top 10 in points right now. Out of all those guys right there, and listen, I'm not going to count out Dillon Westbrook either, right? Because Dillon Westbrook knows how to get around short track pretty good. He's pretty good down there. And we also got to talk about Sam. Sam's 15th in the point. Isn't that amazing that Sam didn't even run all the races this year and he's still 15th in points?
Yeah, that was loud.
With three wins.
Yes, it just shows how good Sam is. I mean, Sam came back and won, two or three races. And every race that he did when he was right there in the top five, top ten area. So, you know, and ASCS has ran, you know, a good amount of races, but not a lot. And it's really easy to come in there and have a good couple races and come up to the backside of the full-time guys, you know, because everybody – you know, behind the full-time guys and points have only ran a handful of races, and most of those guys maybe haven't won a race. So for Sam to come out there and win a couple and, you know, have a good couple points nights, I mean, no surprise that he's sitting, you know, 15th in points.
Yeah, Tim Crawley won this in 1998, the Short Track Nationals. Listen, I'm not going to write him off the list. I think Tim Crawley's got a shot right now. He's rolling pretty good, right? And he's got a lot of momentum right now. He's got a lot of confidence in his equipment right now. He's been winning a lot lately. You can't count out Tim Crawley, can you?
No, for sure. I mean, he's, like you said, he's really had a good season, or had a really good stretch of races since, like, Speed Week. He won a couple races at Speed Week, came back and was good at Lucas, and was good at, what's that? Track up there in Iowa, the fair race that ran before Lucas Oil.
He won
a Spencer. So and all those tracks that he won at were kind of tracks or services we might see at Little Rock, you know, slick and really like
technical.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for, but really technical racetracks and tracks that you know, Tim has a lot of experience on. It really excels at. So yeah, I would not be surprised to see him run well, and I think. My pick is not a national tour driver.
I'm
gonna go out on a limb here, and I hope it pays off for me. But I'm gonna pick Justin Sanders in the Swindell Speed Lab car.
Wow, so, how about that? That's not a bad pick.
The only reason I'm gonna go with Sanders is he's a California guy and ton of bull rings in California. The one difference is they're all kind of juiced up bull rings and. But still, it does not take away his experience on racing.
But how much experience does he have at that racetrack?
Oh, Little Rock, I don't think he's ever been there. Mm. But he's been to tracks like Little Rock before. And, you know, if you race on a short track on the West Coast, you know how to race on short tracks, and that can be applied to any other track you go to in the country close to that size. And then he's had some, ever since he got in this Swindell car at the 360 Nationals, ran off-scheme in the 410 Nationals and went and ran the high limit race. And he went back to California, and the time working with Kevin showed a ton of improvement from the first day he was there to the last, or the first race to the last race. And I think that's set a good foundation for them to come back and do a one-off race like this. I believe they might be running the high limit race tonight too at Wayne County with the 410. So this might be a good race to run tonight and get your foundation back and get everybody working together again, and then go down to Little Rock. And come in there with a ton of speed and maybe momentum and confidence that you might have a shot at winning this race.
Yeah, Wayne Johnson picked up the Short Track Nationals in 1997. Is he still good enough? Do you think he's in good enough condition?
Wayne
right now?
Yeah, he just won Lucas.
You think he's healed up?
He just won at Lucas.
Right. I mean, but do you think he's in good enough shape to pull off the win down there at Short Track Nationals? How much difference is it driving that little bitty track versus driving a bigger track where, you know, on a bigger track, you get a little time down the straightaway to kind of, you know, adjust your body. I don't know if you do or not, but do you think that Wayne is healed up enough to be able to win?
Yeah, after seeing him last 40 laps at Lucas Oil.
Yeah.
On a track If Little Rock is heavy, kind of choppy and fast, then maybe we might have to, you know, maybe agree that he maybe wouldn't be in contention.
If it's a little choppy.
If it's a little choppy, maybe his back. I mean, he's healed up enough to be able to go out there and contend for wins. But All the tracks he's been able to contend for wins on have been really good tracks to race on for right. someone that might be still having a slight effect from an injury.
I would be surprised if it's choppy down there at the short track.
Yeah, like we've been talking about, it's been really good the past year, and it's going to put on good racing. I mean, it might be slick, but there's a possibility it might have a little curb on it and give guys almost two lanes of racing. And, I mean, if it's slick and slow, it's really not that taxing on a driver to run on that. It just makes you be really consistent and really, I guess, methodical on how you run the race and
right.
and how you move yourself, you know, around the track. And I think Wayne improved to us, you know, at Lucas Oil that he still has what it takes to win. And even if he's still fighting a little bit of an injury, it's not affecting him enough that it would take him out of a chance of winning.
You know what? I would not be surprised if Landon Crawley gets in the top 10 down there. He has shown a little extra speed here in the last couple weeks of racing. He got rid of that car that he tore up. He had to replace that down tube in. That car was junk. It didn't handle from the moment they fixed it. They've got a new car. He's been running a lot better with that car. I'm going to predict Landon Crawley gets in the top 10 at Short Track Nationals this weekend. Is that a stretch or not?
That's going to be a tough task to do.
But he's got a lot of laps down there.
He has a lot of laps,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's where he learned to race sprint cars at. So I think, and also with the experience that you know Tim has down there, if Landon can go out there and do what he did at Lucas Oil and mm-hmm. and maximize every lap on the track and go out there
right.
and do his job to the best he can, I think he can be easily a top 15 car, if not a top 10 car, if everything goes right for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, the MWRA champion, Wyatt Burks, is going to join us. He picked up a couple wins this year. He finished second last weekend at Valley Speedway. He joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Joining us now is the 2022 MWRA champion, Wyatt Burks. He joins us on the show. Wyatt, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Not as good as you, man. You're the champion this year. That's got to feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah, didn't really even expect to win the championship this year. We didn't even really go out to run for points, but ended up winning it. So,
yeah. So why did you decide to run for the points? Was there a point during the season when you felt like that you were good enough to win the championship, so you decided to go ahead and run for the points? How'd that work out?
I think it was after 81. We ended up winning it. And we were leading the points after 81, so kind of looked at the rest of the schedule, and there wasn't too many races left, so we just decided to continue on.
Yeah. Man, it seems like MWRA is really growing leaps and bounds. I know last weekend you run second at Valley Speedway. Let's talk about that race a little bit last weekend. Just give us a kind of a rundown of your race that you had over there at Valley Speedway. And, you know, I always say this about Valley Speedway. You can say what you want about the entire facility, right? But that racetrack always races so well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely puts on some good races. But I felt like I kind of gave one away last week in there. We led till three laps to go, and Cody ended up getting around me. But that's kind of the problem with leading. You're just kind of a setting duck, and sometimes it's better to be running second. You can move around and figure things out.
Yeah. How was the track over there at Valley Saturday night?
It got pretty slick. It was kind of a finessing racetrack, which I really enjoy running on. It's the type of racetracks I like to run on a lot. It takes more of the driver, I feel like, compared to when you're on a heavy hammer down stuff, just wide open and hold on.
Yeah, you felt like you were fast enough to win the race. Where did you think that Cody took advantage of, I don't want to say mistakes, or just tell me what you felt like, why you were faster than Cody, and you felt like you should have won that race?
I truly feel like in open, I guess it isn't really open there because we're not running wing cars, but
right.
In the clean, when I was out on my own, I was pretty good, like, felt really good with a race car, and I had personally made mistakes in lap traffic, and I should have maneuvered lap traffic a little better, and he just chose the right line through lap traffic and ended up getting us.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing that for a long time, too. How many years have you been driving non-wing cars, Wyatt?
I think I've been in a non-wing car for about 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
Total in the sprint car, about 10, but yeah. Yeah, Cody's good, and I've picked his pocket in lap traffic before, too. So it's kind of – I feel like it was his get me back this year because I've gotten him a couple times this year that way.
Yeah. Did you pick up 2 wins this year? How many wins did you get? I've got 2 written down here. Is that right?
Yeah, I won 2 with the MWRA, and then I've won a Valley Weekly Show, and then we won a couple Iowa non-wing sprint car series, a new group that got started up there this year. So we got 5 all together right now, but got 4 more races to go, so hopefully we can get 4 more wins. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's step back a couple weeks, and let's talk about the Jesse Hockett Danny McMillan Memorial. I know you started 4th. You ended up running 5th in that race. Take us through that, the Hockett McMillan Memorial, and your thoughts about that race.
Yeah, it's a very cool event. I consider it my vacation time that week when we're down there. I love going to that facility. It's awesome. And it was a good Hockett for us. I think we ended up running 2nd on our prelim night, and we were in contention on Saturday. It just some yellows didn't fall our way, and ended up running 5th, trying to make things happen, and kind of had a few mistakes, and just ended up running 5th. But it's a huge event for us around here, and I love going to it every year.
Yeah, you know, I like what they do down there with WAR on that deal. They split up the field. I wish they would do that with the wing cars, man. I just think it takes a little bit of life out of the racetrack trying to run all the wing cars on the same night every night. Don't you feel that way a little bit?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I feel like the wing and non-wing should both be split fields all weekend long until Saturday. I think it would make the racetrack 10 times better throughout the week.
Yeah.
And we'd be getting over way earlier too in the night, which a lot of fans like to be done earlier. They like to hang out and have a good time after the races. So
yeah,
I agree 100% on that, and hopefully in the next coming years they do that.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty surprised on Thursday night they got over at 11 o'clock. I was shocked by that because I figured we would go to about 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it always seems like that first night down there is always late, but
yep,
we actually did get over pretty early every night this year, which was nice. And it, like I said, people don't like to be out there till 1 or 2 in the morning. They'd rather be done and hanging out and enjoying their night afterwards. So yep, if they can continue that up, I think it'll get bigger and bigger each year.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about the Lucas Oil Speedway, the diamond of dirt tracks, and we're so blessed to have Lucas Oil as our title sponsor of this radio show, of this podcast, when you look at that facility, you've been around a lot of racetracks. Is there anything that even comes close to comparing to that place?
No. I mean, There's some nice facilities out there for sure, but
no doubt
that one just, I mean, there's nothing compared to it anywhere we've ever really been to. I mean, there, like I said, there's a lot of other nice facilities, but it's just hard to beat that one. It's, I mean, how many racetracks do you go to that's got a car wash and a parts store and a bar and a play area for kids and go-kart track for kids and stuff? It's just extremely hard to beat that place.
Yeah, it's got all the amenities, that's for sure, at that racetrack. Hey, have you ever thought about going wing racing? Is that something that you'd like to do maybe in the future?
Yeah, I originally started with wing cars when I got into sprint cars, and we just kind of went the non-wing route because it's more affordable for me and my family.
Yeah.
And I would love to run wing cars if anybody's ever looking for somebody to drive. I'd love to run one. But right now I'll just focus on my non-wing stuff with our own stuff that's more affordable for us. And
right,
I feel like we got a pretty good package for that. And there's a lot of non-wing races around here in the Midwest.
We're visiting with Wyatt Burke. He's the MWRA champion this year in 2022. With the, I've got to say this. I know that Shelby Manthey's been kind of running the show a little bit this year, but Raul has been kind of the ramrod behind everything. What makes I always get a little puzzled by this sometimes, once in a while, and I'm going to ask you, and maybe you can give me a good answer. Is WAR trying to travel too far, and is that why MWRA is so successful, is because they're trying to stay closer to home? Would you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, I would have to agree to a point. I mean, what Shelby and Raul and Caleb and Dell and all them and Chris and everybody at the MWRA has put together around here is great for local racers because it's within a couple hours everywhere we go. But
right.
Also on the other side, it's fun to go travel. So I also understand the point of the war deal. And the purse is a little more with the war when we go travel around. But I'd have to say for, like, local, which this the MWRA helps out with all our sponsors because it's more local. And
right.
It's great because whenever I go to Lakeside, Smith and Loveless, that's on my car, they bring out all their employees out to Lakeside to watch us race. And we don't get to do that much with war around here. It's usually 3 to 4 hours away from us.
Yeah. You know, I raced for 35 years, and I did it on my own budget, out of my own pocket for most of those years. I was lucky towards the end of my career that I had Praxair come on board with me, and they were a great sponsor of my car. But how difficult is it for a family-owned team to run with MWRA right now? It's got to be a little bit taxing on the family a little bit because, I mean, let's face it, sprint car racing is not cheap, right?
Yeah, with all the expenses going up with fuel prices and tires and everything. I mean, everything's going up for racing now, and it's definitely harder. And luckily, with all our sponsors, it helps for sure. And it's just, I don't know, it's hard. Like, none of our guys can get tires this year, and it's been stressful for everybody. Everybody's trying to run on used stuff all year long, and it's gotten to a point where it's became extremely hard, and I never figured I would ever see this with racing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Are you planning on trying to come back and defend your championship title next year with MWRA? Is that the plans?
We'll run a lot of their shows again. I don't know if we'll run the whole deal again. Probably will, but we're going to finish off this year with going up to 36 on Friday and Saturday this weekend, and then we're going to go to Devil's Bowl at the end of the season. And then we'll look at schedules when they come out over the winter and decide what we're going to do. But we'll definitely go support the whole deal. It's a great group of people, and they really work hard at doing this for us, and they're all locals, and they have families and stuff, and they take their time out of their weekend to come do this for us, and it's really appreciative.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Who is your best bud out there that travels with you guys up and down the road with MWRA? Who's the guy that you hang out with the most?
Honestly, I mean, we got quite a few people we hang out with. The Shooties didn't really run much of the MWRA this year, but we hang out with them a lot. But I'd have to say Rick Smith. I like giving him some crap. But, there's quite a few people we hang out with. It's a pretty tight group. Everybody's pretty close with each other. And that's what makes it fun. It makes racing less stressful when you're all pretty much there for the same thing and get along. I mean, you're going to have your ups and downs with people and stuff happens, but
right.
We're all there to have fun and just enjoy the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When we talk about racetracks, you mentioned Lakeside Speedway. I raced on pavement there from 1989 to 2000 when it turned to dirt. And I raced there a little bit when it was dirt as well. But is Lakeside, maybe I should rephrase this question. What is your favorite racetrack to race on? Around this area, is there one that stands out more than the others to you?
For like a bigger racetrack, Lakeside is definitely my favorite racetrack we go to around here. Yeah. I think it puts on excellent races for as big as it is. But I'd have to say my favorite racetrack we go to all year long around here is probably US 36. I really enjoy that place for some reason, and I just always have liked going there.
That's a giddy up joint, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's elbows up for 30 laps, and 30 laps go extremely quick there, and feel like you ran 5 laps. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. When people talk about shortening up Lakeside Speedway, what is that? For me, it really kind of ticks me off for people to think that they need to shorten up Lakeside Speedway. It's only 0.4 mile, right? And I get it. For a weekly racetrack, it's not the cheapest racetrack to race at. But when people start talking about shortening that thing up to a quarter mile or doing something like that, what are your thoughts about that?
I get it. I get the whole wanting to shorten it up because it is easier on motors and easier on cars, and it don't hurt as bad when you wreck. But, I mean, also I like it how it is. I think it's one of the best racing facilities around here. They get the track right. It puts on some great races. It's, you can run the top right up against the fence, or you can run right around the bottom and be fast. So,
right.
I mean, there's, I get the whole point of wanting to shorten it up to help with locals on bills and stuff, but also like the big track. I like the speed and everything, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'll be curious to see what happens.
Well, I sure hope they don't shorten it up. That's just my opinion. You know, I've got a lot of years and a lot of, I won a lot of races out there at Lakeside Speedway when it was pavement. And I would hate to see him shorten it up because I think a lot of people really enjoy the size of that racetrack. You know, the long sweeping corners. It can get technical at times too, can't it?
Yes, it's a very technical racetrack. I would have to agree with that 100%. It makes you think a lot, and that's what makes racing fun. It's fun to go out there and have to think about what you're having to do each lap and trying to figure out better lines. And when they give us a racetrack like that, I think it puts on some excellent races.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're going to go down to Devil's Bowl. Are they running non-wing cars down there the weekend of the Winter Nationals? Are they going to run non-wing cars down there that weekend?
I think the weekend we're down there is October 28th and 29th, so I don't know if that's the Winter Nationals or not, but it's with the Extreme Outlaw Series, and we're going to go down there and make that our last outing for the year.
Yeah. What do you think about the Extreme Outlaw Series? The World of Outlaws are doing a great job with that deal. It pays pretty good money. I think the minimum it pays to win is $5,000. What do you think about that series?
Yeah, it's definitely good. It's better for the non-wing guys, especially for the guys that do it for a living. It helps pay for stuff. I think non-wing racing should pay a lot more than it does because it's the same amount. It's the same equipment. It might cost a little less, but they're also putting their lives in danger too, racing non-wing cars like they do with a wing car. And I think the non-wing cars kind of gotten to a point where they need to start making more money, and it's finally starting to happen.
Yeah. Did I see right on your Facebook page that you guys are trying to sell your rig?
No, I'm not selling my rig.
Oh, it just looked like you had it up there, and it looked like it might have been for sale. I want to know a little story on this dog that was on your page. Was that a friend of yours' dog that came up missing?
Yeah, my best friend from high school, his dog went missing yesterday, and I don't know if they found him yet or not, but I figured I'd give it to share, see if anybody found it around here locally in Topeka.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Wyatt, man, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. Now, I know you had to schedule around work. What do you do for a living? Can I ask you?
I'm a plumber pipe fitter. It's funny, me, Chris Morgan, Stephen Bowers Jr., we all work together. So,
oh, wow.
it's a race shop, basically, but with plumbing and pipe fitting stuff.
Do you guys ever talk smack on each other when you're working during the day? During the day?
Oh, yeah. Especially me and Chris. We get to try to get under each other's skins, and makes us go out and compete against each other a lot harder. And yeah. Whoever gets bragging rights when we go back to work on Monday morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Wyatt, man, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Congratulations on the championship this year. We'll be curious to see if you come back and try to defend that championship in 2023. Congratulations again, man. What a great year for you. Two wins, some great finishes, a nice finish down at the Hockett McMillan Memorial. And you're all doing it with your own team, and man, I think everybody can appreciate trying to do it on their own.
Yeah, I'd like to say big thanks to all my sponsors, Smith & Loveless, Ultraline Hobbies, Torgerson Trenching, Weber Ottawa, Cage Suspension, Jaden's Hope Foundation, my mom, my dad, my girlfriend. If it wasn't for all these people, I wouldn't be able to do it, and I really appreciate all their help throughout the year.
All right. Wyatt, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Wyatt Burks joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. You know, we were just sitting here. I saw Scotty Cook talking on the chat room. I thought, you know what? Let's give the old boy a call down there in Asheville, Missouri. Scotty Cook, how you doing, brother?
Wait, what? What'd you say, Asheville? What? I'm not in North Carolina.
Oh, no, that's Ashland.
There you go.
Ashland. If you're going to Jeff City, don't get.
How you doing?
If you're going to Jeff City, don't get off at Ashland.
Right? That is right. That is so right. That is for sure.
Scotty,
somehow I got off here about 2 or 3 years ago, and here I am.
Here you are. You're living right there. And how far away is that from Columbia? About 10 minutes?
Well, Ashland to Columbia is 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Yep, it's right in the middle of the state capital, Jeff City, and Columbia, Missouri, 15 miles either direction. And I love it here because it's peaceful and quiet, and it's just like Mayberry.
It's like a little old podunk town, isn't it?
It sure is. But did you make it through? Did you, you saw the UFO the other night? Did you? You didn't get abducted?
No, I didn't get abducted. Did you see that UFO, Scotty?
Hey, Scott, I swear to you, I saw the same thing last night. It was traipsing across the northwest sky in a west to east direction, and
a bunch of lights right in a row, right?
Yeah, it's a product of Elon Musk, some sort of satellite deal.
Hold on, we're seeing UFOs out here.
The other night, I'm sitting in my hot tub out back. And all of a sudden, I look up in the sky, and I see at the very minimum about 15 lights in a row running single file like they were drafting down the back straightaway at Daytona.
Exactly.
And it was running right across the sky, and everybody else said it was satellite trail. I don't know anything about it.
I have something to offer to both of you when you guys have some free time. Listen to the Joe Rogan podcast with Bob Lazar. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
What'd he say?
Well, Bob used to work at Area 51 back in the day.
Yeah.
And Bob has some stories. That's going to change
your
mind on some
things.
Yeah,
Bob's got a whole lot of stories. Bob knows a thing or two about a thing or two, and he'll tell you how a spaceship works.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
just give it a listen when you get some free time.
Scotty believes in the UFOs.
You might believe in them after you hear this.
All day.
Yeah, yeah. Scotty, let's talk a little bit about the Short Track Nationals coming up this weekend. Blake has won it 3 out of the last 4 years. Sam won it the year before last in 2020. And there's a group of guys that we think that can still win the Short Track Nationals. But I've been saying it all morning that I can't count out the crawdaddy, Tim Crawley, because he's got the momentum in his pocket right now, doesn't he?
Not at all, man. He has got more momentum in his pocket, honestly, than I've seen in a 10-year stretch. I mean,
no doubt.
They're obviously, he's very, very good at Little Rock, and there are stretches and times of his career that he had that thing on a dime and unbeatable. But, per this year being out on the national tour, the first half of the season was struggle and strife and try to stay in contention in the top five. And, man, we got past the 360 Nationals, and he got on the heels of that Speed Week championship. But, man, he has been – an absolute token of consistency the last month and a half out on the tour. And, you've heard me preach a million times about how this game of sprint car racing or motorsports in general is so mental. I mean, if you're winning, you feel like you can't be beat. Wins breed wins and podiums. And on the flip side of that, if you're wadding up cars and blowing motors, you feel like you'll never win another race.
Yeah.
Right now, Tim Crawley, in his swan song, is on an absolute roll with a ton of momentum in his pocket, and I would absolutely not count him out to be able to pull this off this year. What a neat story it would be. Supposedly, possibly, the last Short Track Nationals. We'll wait and see how that all pans out, but it would be an absolute beautiful story. And can it be done? You damn right. 100% it can be done. And he'll have to fend off a lot of the other guys like you mentioned. Blake, he's absolutely got that thing, that place figured out. And he's a contender. Dylan Westbrook, like you said, Sam Hafertig. Those are the names and the guys that you want to keep your eye on
that's going to be in contention to pull this thing off. But Tim Crawley, all eyes will be upon him this weekend, and it could possibly be, Scott, the last time all the folks of Little Rock get to see him race at his home track right in his backyard.
Yeah, because he has made the announcement that he's going to retire at the end of the year. Now, Wayne Johnson, he picked up the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial win down there, and that was a very emotional win for Wayne because how tight he was with Jesse back in the day, and Jack and him continue to be as close. Wayne Johnson coming off of that Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, he's got to be one of the guys you got to keep an eye out for too, right?
Well, I think Wayne, I mean, you know, he's been in contention the whole season. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, the night of his accident in Waukini, Kansas earlier this season, he had just taken over the point lead from Blake and then lost it again after that. And he had to sit out the following race. He tried the hot lap at US 36. And after hot laps, he parked it. He was in so much pain. That being said, he's had a pleasantly surprising, wonderful 2022. And can he win it? Sure, he's fully capable. But you have to understand also that, you know, you kind of hit on it a little bit earlier. Wayne's good on the big tracks where he can sit back in the seat and cinch the belts down and not have to maneuver around. A great big slicked off half mile to a 3/8 is much more suited for a fellow that's long in the tooth versus a bull ring that's cowboy up, where if you're 40 to 45 to 50 plus years old, you might be as prone to be falling out of the seat a little bit.
Right.
Not to say that he's not in shape, but he is.
Right.
But there's no doubt that this is a young man's game. And I think Wayne could be a solid contender for a top five, possibly a podium. He'd probably bonk me on my left testicle like he always does. But I would think that he would be I don't want to call him a long shot, but I'd certainly be surprised if he'd be able to pull it off simply because it's I-30. It's always cowboy up. It's a lot of rubbing and racing.
Yeah.
But I think those names that we mentioned a little bit earlier are stronger candidates than Wayne. Although I've been wrong before, just like you. And if he hears this, he'll be up on the wheel a little extra more to prove me wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. How about the chances of Matt Covington? He's currently third in the Lucas Oil ASCS National standings. He's 173 points out of the lead. Does Matt get around Little Rock good enough to win that race?
The answer to that is yes. And Little Rock I-30 Speedway is, I believe, one of the – Matt will tell you he's never raced at any other track more than Little Rock. It's where his career started. It's one of his favorite tracks. He absolutely gets around there very well, and he's won there numerous times. I believe last year he was a prelim night winner at I-30 Short Track, or maybe the year before. The deal with Matt is trying to find consistency, and that's been something that he's had to deal with the last 4 or 5 years, and seemingly this year is not much different, man. A couple of wins, but finding that consistency, being off a tick here and there, is really thrown a hiccup in his program. But if you want to throw a I really wouldn't even want to call him a dark horse because it really wouldn't be that much of a surprise if he was able to pull it off because he's definitely fast enough. But again, there are so many other heavy hitters that are strong contingents to be able to make that thing, bring that thing home this week. And a footnote to that, Matt will be racing with a very, very heavy heart this weekend as he last night just lost a very, very dear friend and someone very, very close to the Covington race team, Mr. Steve Basham. He's originally out of Springfield, Missouri. And
yep, I know Steve.
He became a friend to Matt and a very, very big supporter to the race team not more so monetarily, but just emotionally. Just support. A very good friend to the whole family, and became friends with many, many other people out on tour the last 5 or 6 years. And he unfortunately got cancer, I believe, early in the spring. And, man, he fought a good fight, and he hung on as long as he could. But he just gave up the fight last night. Matt really, really cares for and loves Steve Basham. So he'll be racing with a heavy heart. And we've seen before, a la Jesse Hockett, what a talented race car driver can do when he's racing with a heavy heart.
No doubt about it. Listen, Scotty, I said this earlier in the show, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think Landon Crawley could run in the top 10 at the Short Track Nationals this year. Are you with me or are you not with me on that one?
I am. Well, if you'd asked me that about 3 months ago, I'd have said no chance in hell. But from what I've seen and the curve, the learning curve that boy is riding on,
yep.
The progress he's made in such a short amount of time with the tutelage of his legendary father, right now that boy
is riding
the same wave of momentum that dad's riding right now.
Yeah.
And he has really, really come along. And I think the moment you saw him pass his father for a heat race win in front of a capacity crowd at Lucas Oil Speedway, that was his stepping out moment. That's
right.
Hey, everybody, here I am. I'm not just a kid ripping tear-offs and cutting laps. He's bona fide. He's got talent. He's just short of quite a bit more seat time. You give that boy another year. If we could have him out on tour another year or two, he's going to be real, real good. He's very, very smooth. He's very smart. He's very tactical. He knows how to stay out of trouble, and he's really good on equipment.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So, yes, that's not a stretch. He could by all means pull off a top 10. But you know as well as I do, Short Track Nationals roster of drivers and entries are as about as stacked as any marquee venue that we have all season long, even Knoxville Nationals or the Hockett Memorial.
Right. There's a couple other drivers that we got to throw in that mix when you talk about a bag of drivers that could win this race. I think Dylan Westbrook and Derek Hagar are two other drivers you got to keep an eye on, right?
Absolutely. Dylan Westbrook knows how to get around there. Dylan is a win it or wear it driver. He's gonna get every last inch out of a race car, and if it means he's got to wad it up in attempt to doing so, that's how that works. He's definitely capable. You don't even need to get into explaining how good Derek Hagar is, especially when he's running down there in his own backyard at I-30 or at the ditch. He is ace in the hole. And, I mean, you look at other names that could tend. You've got your Howard Moores. Howard's very good, and he's formed a very good relationship with A.G. Raines. Austin mentioned Justin Sanders a little bit earlier. You know, he could turn some heads. I think that it takes quite a few more laps around the racetrack to be spot on than just debuting.
I agree.
And thinking that you're gonna, you know, so just so much talent, so many names. That's what makes this event such a must-see for all sprint car fans. And, man, you run down the list of champions, of past champions of that race, and if you won the Short Track Nationals, you've done something because you're adding your name to the list of names like Kinzer's, Swindell's, and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you know if Seth Bergman is going to make it to the Short Track Nationals this year? Have you heard?
You know, I don't know, and Seth has been on again, off again.
Yeah.
He's focused his attention toward Bryant Paver Motorsports and being a team manager for Garrett Williamson, who, by the way, just picked up a Sprint Invader win last weekend in the state of Iowa. He's
right.
Rolling real well, too.
Yeah.
He'll be one you want to watch to at least get in the show, maybe a solid top 10, sniffing the top five. We'll watch him. But Seth, man, he's only been able to race when he's had the opportunity and time to. I haven't talked to him in the last couple of weeks, but I think last time I saw him, I think he did mention that he's going to run. So too big of an event for him not to run. And there's another name, man. We could sit here and rattle off so many names of guys that are let alone capable of cracking off top fives, top tens, podiums, but are capable of winning. You know, it just takes the right mindset, takes the right momentum in your pocket, and you got to have a little luck along the way for sure.
Somebody on the chat room said that Rico might be there this weekend. If Rico shows up, he's got to be one of the favorites, doesn't he?
Wow. I had not heard that, dude. And if he does, that'll just set the whole field on its ear because there's no doubt about it. Makes no matter, 360 or 410, he's a 410 driver. But there is no doubt about it. Rico Abreu can flat drive a sprint car, and he's not afraid to gas it up and cinch the belts down tight and wheel it around a bull ring like this place. And I don't know, but how many laps, if any ever, Rico has had around the short track nationals. Maybe he feels it might be the last opportunity to ever get to race that deal. But if he does, man, bring it on. That's just more whipped cream on top of the ice cream, you know, on top of the sundae. That would be a very, very welcome addition to the field. Can he win? Yes. Again, you stack him up against all the rest of those guys who are accomplished 360 drivers. There's a difference between any guy, any wheel man that's driven them both extensively can tell you that there's a big difference. And you can't just hop in from one to the other. It takes a little knocking the rust off after it's been a while. So if he's an addition to the field, he will be one to entertaining to watch and see how his weekend progresses. Fully capable of putting on a show and being up in the mix before the night Saturday's over.
Scotty, who do you think's going to win?
You notice a pause?
I noticed the pause there. I know you don't want to leave a bruise on anybody, but
man, well, of all the names that we rattled off, honestly, can I pick two?
I think I know who you're going to pick.
You might not. I don't think. Tell me who you think I'm going to pick, and I'll tell you.
You're going to pick Blake, and you're going to pick Sam.
Man, can I pick three? No. Blake is on an absolute, he's got that place figured out. Him and Tommy and Dalton have something figured out about I-30 Speedway.
No doubt.
That he should be the odds-on favorite coming in. But, man, to rattle off yet another one, what would it, if he was to win this year, would that be his fourth?
It would be his fourth. Yep, he's won three out of the last 4 years.
I don't know. You're getting into the ranks of Steve Kinzer's and Sammy Swindell's, the guys that have won that deal more than three times. Blake Hahn's going to be your odds-on favorite. You got to keep your eye out for Derek Hagar and Sam Hayfertig Jr. One of those three are going to be there when it at the pay window Saturday night. That's me tiptoeing out on that flimsy branch, bud, since you pushed me out there.
Right. Well, I do that to you every now and again. Hey,
for good fodder.
Are you gonna be down there this weekend?
Yes, sir. I'm taking off this afternoon. I haven't seen my old buddy, big old Ricky Danley, since Florida last winter. I'm going to go down there and catch up with him tonight.
At Space Mountain?
And that'll be in, Farmington.
At Farmington, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no real good way to get to Little Rock from central Missouri. You got to either shoot down 55 out of St. Louis or come out of Springfield down 65 or shoot straight down 63, which is like going through Space Mountain. You get over the border of Arkansas to Missouri, man. It's just a miserable mountainous drive when you're going down straight down south of here. So, you know, I'm kind of like you. Sometimes I like to fasten the seatbelt and hit the cruise control and don't have to worry about moving that wheel much. So I'm going to shoot her down 70 east to 55 south and stop in Farmington and catch up with my buddy Big O, and then head on down to Little Rock tomorrow night and get ready for Thursday night's opener for the Memorial event that'll kick off the 35th annual, crazy to think, Comp Cam Short Track Nationals.
Well, I'm going to be there myself, my friend.
Well, so, good. We'll be able to catch up. I just want to send out a very special thanks to the Clay family and Tracy Clay for extending the invite. And, you know, that makes me real grateful when they believe in what you do enough to invite you to be a part of such a big event. And so it's just a big feather in the cap, especially since it might be the last one. We're not for sure.
Right.
But regardless, I'm just grateful for her invite and the entire Clay family for having me down. It's always fun. You know, there's always for a sprint car fan, you're going to get your plate full if you go to this event annually. You know that.
Right. Maybe you and I will head over to Babe's and have some dinner.
Wait, where? What? Babe's?
Babe's. No, Babe's.
There's not a Babe's in Little Rock.
There's not a Babe's in Little Rock. What was that name of that place that we ate at the buffet down there by?
I think it was called Brown's.
Brown's. It's closed up, isn't it, though? I think it is.
Well, I sure wish they'd reopen it because I sure enjoyed our visit there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Scotty.
They don't want to see me coming to the buffet, do they?
No, I've seen you kill some buffets in my lifetime.
I can destroy a buffet.
I don't know where you put it all, but you put it in there somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you just fill it up and walk it off, brother.
That's it. Okay. Well, Scotty, I appreciate it. I will see you down there. I'm going to Devil's Bowl for the Winter Nationals as well.
Awesome. Well, then we will go to Babe's.
Then we'll go to Babe's. Down there. Yeah, no doubt about it. Scotty, thanks.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling me and having me on. Always a pleasure chatting with you. And forever my brother. I love me some Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott. Forever indebted to you boys.
All right, buddy. I love you too, brother. I'll see you later. I'll see you down there in a couple days, okay?
God bless you. See you down there.
All right, buddy. See you. There you have it. Scotty Cook joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's always good to talk to Scotty. A lot of years, a lot of mischief, me and him running up and down the road. Let me tell you. A lot of mischief. A lot of good times as well. So, all right. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show today. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works for Austin O'Neill. What, Kurt? Oh, we need to remind everybody. Yeah, we got to remind everybody that you need to get up there before October 1st to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You need to get up there. The great track tribute of Ascot Park is going to end October 1st. You're running out of time, folks. You need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check out all the video, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park. They got a lot of great cars up there as well. They've got the Jimmy Oskey Old Paint Sprint Car. They've got Dean Thompson Sprint Car up there, number two Sprint Car. Pernelli Jones Turkey Night Midget is up there as well. The Tamale Wagon Sprint Car is up there. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You got to do it before October 1st because it's going to be over. Got to get up there. Got to get up there and check it out. It's one of the great, great track tributes of all time. And you need to get up there right now to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's on 14 Highway off of Turn 2 at Knoxville Raceway. It's real easy to find. Just go to Knoxville. Ask them where the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is. They'll lead you right down there to it. And while you're there, you need to buy a Sprint Car raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X chassis. For a complete 410 Sprint Car, they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it to help pay for the taxes as well. Folks, this is a race-ready Sprint Car. A complete 410 Sprint Car, race-ready. And they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it as well. If you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and do it in person, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And if you're not comfortable putting your information on a computer, you can always give them a call up the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum at 641-842-6176. Again, for Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.